When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Right, we are back finally. We've had a long break after the FA Cup quarter-final defeat. We took our time, let it brew.
It's been a while now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it feels like ages ago. Yeah. Which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. So I said like after we got beat that this international break might be like the worst thing for us. Could have done with like a Wednesday game to beat someone and get back on the horse, as people say.
Yeah. I think you look at it both ways. I think on the bus on the way back, we were saying that we'd like a midweek game just to get straight back into it. But I think now we've like had this break, I'm glad for it really. Just to kind of start not think it over, but like let the emotion from it passed.
Yeah,
like
I think most people have got over it now, haven't they, as well?
Reconcentrate. And there's another thing of, if we'd have beat Sheffield United, we'd have got City in semi-finals. Now that, to me, although it's like, how great it would have been to get to Wembley.
Yeah.
It's a wasted weekend. you're just going to get battered.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, worst teams than us have beat City at Wembley, like Wigan in the FA Cup final.
Very different City
side. I think that a one-off game at Wembley, I think you can beat anyone. It's just, I know what you mean about, but looking at it's been announced today, hasn't it, 4:45 on Saturday.
Yeah.
The ticket prices are just absolutely ridiculous. I think it's like, for like the bottom tier, especially, it's £65 for behind goal and £85. Like towards the sides, towards dugout.
Yeah.
Just like for a one-off game, that's absolutely ridiculous. And I think a lot of City fans are not going.
Because they've been that way. I mean, I saw something the other day, they've been like 13 times in, 12 times?
I think
times,
they've been 20 times in the last 10 years. They've won all the League Cups the last 4 years, so that's four. Like, how many FA Cups have they won? They've won a few FA Cups, so like it's your semi-final.
This will be the third one, won't it, if they win like under the ownership.
Yeah. So that's six visits there. Community Shield, probably eight times.
There's been a few of them, yeah.
Wembley, so. When they played Spurs in the league, that's another two journeys. You have it twice at Spurs.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a lot of money. And like I think they've got Bayern Munich the week after that away. So the fans that will be travelling to Munich for that game, like what would you rather go to, a semi-final at Wembley, which you've been to 20 times against a championship team, or would you rather go to the Allianz Arena to watch like two of the best teams in Europe battle it out
in a season where they're fancied to win it, so.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been a great day out for us.
But
as opposed,
we might yet get another chance.
Yeah, still thinking about the positives. Wembley would have been a good day out as opposed to the terrible day out that is Bramall Lane. And I don't want to sound bitter and salty and horrible, but honestly, I never want to go there again. If we do finish in the playoffs, if they come down into third, they're the team I want to avoid. Just because, one, the away end's crap. Especially, this is the first time we've sold that many at Bramall Lane, but even there's only 2,000 of you, you've got the two tiny bars that aren't fit for purpose for a full length away end. No. You've got no away pubs near the ground. You basically get dropped off on like the main road where all the Sheffield United fans walk but forward and back to their pubs, and you can't go anywhere. You have to go into the city centre. So unless you get there an hour, 90 minutes before.
Right. And you probably have to get on the train as well.
Yeah.
Get there on train because, you're probably not going to walk, 20 plus minutes into City Centre and then 20 plus minutes back.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to have the time to do that?
Or? Like, you killed like 45 minutes of your day before you even had a drink.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wasn't impressed with the...
But it was like, we got there and that... You know, we were told that... Is it the Cricketers' Arms behind the away end?
Yeah.
Like, we tried to go in there and the police were just like, no, it's home fans. I'm like, well, I'm sure that should be the away pub.
It's on the corner of the away end. Like, I think on occasions like a quarter final where you got 6,000 fans, I think something has to be put in place for them fans. I'm sure like if we played at Ewood, they'd have a fan zone at Darwin End that would fit for purpose for all of them. So why, like, for such a, I won't say a big club, but like a club that's been in the Premier League recently, they've had to put up with large away ends in recent years. How do they cope? Because I'm sure they'd like 4,000 United fans, 4,000 City fans, 4,000 Newcastle fans. Surely they don't all go into the City Centre and then walk back across. Surely they like have to drink somewhere. It was just disappointing. I expected a bit, not like to be good horse, but just think for like an FA Cup quarter final, you want to make it special for everyone, not just your own fans. But anyway, so we got into the ground. There was a lot of, this is my seat.
Yeah.
Which I don't really lie, but for people that don't really go on away days often, you get given a ticket, you think that you should sit in that seat, which is fine. I don't mind it. The people next to us got a bit arsey. They were like, this is our seat. And I was like, well, the people next to me are in our seats. Wasn't a big deal. But like, so me and Matt were stood where we were stood, and there was five seats from there to the end of the row, and these three people came over and said, these are our seats, you need to move. I was like, right, well, the people next to me are in our seats, can you just sit at the end? No, these are our seats, you need to effing move. Got a bit like, just arsey for no reason. And I was like, well, that's fine, we'll stand at end. And you're like, no, just tell them to move. I said, no, because that's not... One, I knew most of them, it Wilco and Corey and all them lot. Two, I'm just not going to do that on an away day, because that's just... Like, if all their mates are stood together, because they probably haven't been able to get tickets together, why should I break them up so I can sit two seats away from where I would sit anyway? So we ended up just standing at the end of the row. Got off to a good start. VAR had to be called in. What did you think of our first...
Definite penalty.
Yeah.
Like, at the time, obviously, no one had a bloody clue what was going on because we couldn't see it.
No, we couldn't see it from our end. Which I'm surprised at, because how clear of a handball it was. I think most of us were just like, oh my God, that's a massive chance, not
that we've spurned, handball. Yeah.
What did you think of the whole... I mean, we just didn't know what was going on, did we?
No.
There was a big screen above us that said...
It kind of slowly got around it. Everyone's like pointing over at it. Definite penalty, and for me, should have been a red card.
Should
have been a red card.
I think it definitely should have been a yellow. But I think referees, because of VAR, are almost shitting out a bit. Even so, that one.
Possibly.
That one, I mean, it was like on the counter, so I can understand the referee's a bit far back, can't really tell. I think the linesman should be flagging for it. I think with VAR, you can flag for it and check. I think that's better than not giving it and letting VAR check, because then no one knows what's going on. At least if you give the penalty and allowed the check to go on and see if he's guilty or not, then I think that makes more sense than just not giving anything and the fans having no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
But the one in the United game that evening, the Willian on the line,
yeah,
that was just the clearest... Willian even pointed at his hand saying it hit my hand, like my hand's in line on my chest, it hit my hand, and like the ref's just like no, and then watched it and obviously sent everyone off for it.
Sent everyone
off. Nah, we're going all, it's my ball.
That game we're in the second half,
just... I mean, the manager's not set the best, I think, because
both what Marco Silva and Mitrovic did, just ridiculous. To be speaking to officials like that, I just think it's really poor when, you know, they should be like setting examples as role models.
If the ref gives the penalty, I don't think they get as frustrated and that happens. I think it's just like, oh, he's handballed it, it's a penalty. It's the fact he's had to come over and watch it And then he's watching it in slow motion, which must frustrate managers, because if he's not seen it when he's 10 yards away on the pitch, it's not obviously a clear and obvious error. Looking at the replay, it is quite clearly handball. A lot of people have said it wasn't going in, so it shouldn't have been a red card, but it clearly was going in.
Yeah.
And then, I think if you're Mitrovic, he's not been able to see the replay. I think if that, there should be something where, oh, that the referee could just, Marco Silva comes over and goes, what are you doing, what are you watching? He just goes, look, he's handballed, like, show him the screen and say, look, he's handballed it. And then even Mitrovic, like, I think players should be able to, not, players should be able to watch it, but, I mean, you see it in cricket, don't they? They like stand around and look at the big screen and watch the review. And they almost kind of know when it happens. And I feel like if they showed it on a big screen somewhere and like explained, or like in NFL where the referees talk over a microphone and explain the decision, I think it'd help. But just, you watch the referee go over to a screen, come back and give a penalty and send Willian off. You've no idea. Especially Mitrovic, probably on the halfway line, not really seen it.
I think the authorities probably think that by, you know, showing the decision that the, showing the incident that the referee's looking at, and if they were to, what's the word, like, give the conversation as well between the referee and the VAR official.
Yeah.
That it would, like, because of how high emotions can run in football compared to other sports, I think they probably think it wouldn't be the best thing, but it's actually, you know, when you, that's the first time I've been in the ground, you know, and my team's been
helped by VAR.
Helped by VAR, or just involved in an incident that's required VAR, really. And I think at the same time that it just leaves everyone confused, like no one knows what's going on. Like, you know, you need some sort of clarity, don't you?
Yeah. I think there's pros and cons, isn't there? After the Smodic goal goes in, obviously he's celebrating like mad, absolute scenes, but until they take the kickoff, you're never 100% sure. I thought he was onside when they played the pass.
I was pretty certain he was onside just because of how well he timed the run and how well Gallagher, I know we give him a lot of stick, he timed his pass to perfection as well.
Yeah, I just think with how sure the defenders were that he was offside, because I know two ran over to the lines and when he scored, yeah. I just thought it's going to get checked and I could just see like a fingernail or something being offside and that would just be our luck. But then as soon as he took kick off, it was almost like a second celebration, and then obviously later on in the game when they scored the winner, there's almost like a bit in the back of your mind like, could this be ruled out? Could this potentially be ruled out? And you shouldn't really think of it like that, because you like, although it were against us, for that goal to be wiped out because of the foul on Morton, it wouldn't have been, I don't think it would have been justice, because it's an absolute screamer from a young lad to put his send his team to Wembley. It's almost like the dream story for every club in this country. It's just unfortunate we were on the wrong end of it. Yeah. If that were Adam Wharton doing it for us.
I mean, I said it after the game to quite a few people. You know, a lot of people have said, a lot of people on Twitter during the game were saying it's like probably one of the best games all season as a neutral, and it probably was, but for us, it just seemed to, it was that fast paced that
it just flew by, didn't it?
It flew by, and the pressure was like, it was unbelievable, weren't it?
It was scary.
The stress.
Yeah, the stress of it, yeah. They come back into the game with an annoying goal, really. The corner comes in. One, I think Gallagher can do better with a header. He heads it into
the header.
A dangerous area for them.
Yeah.
And then I even think the attempted block's a bit lazy.
He just kind of like throws a leg at it, doesn't he?
But it's going about 5 yard wide.
Yeah.
And I think if he does that at other end, he misses it. I've never seen him like get on the end of someone's shot from the edge of the box and like turn it into the bottom corner for us. And like the one time he does it at the opposite end, it just bounces in the bottom corner when it was going comfortably wide.
It's just really unfortunate, but at the same time, it could have gone anywhere. It's unfortunate in that sense, but at the same time, I've said like a few times after the game, why has he not headed it instead of heading it to the edge of the box, where he has no idea, you know, there could be a Sheffield United player running in.
Yeah.
Why don't you just head it back to take?
Yeah, and I think
that's where it comes from.
The direction, well, the way the cross comes in, it's probably easier to head it out to that corner than it was to head it where he headed it.
Yeah.
And obviously, it gets to half time, almost like 15 minutes to catch your breath, and it was again flew by. Didn't really feel like 15 minutes. Some dodgy sounds coming over the soundtrack over the top. I don't know what songs they were playing. And then just after all time, well, I'll say just after all time, on the hour mark, Smodic puts us into absolute dreamland. Yeah. And you genuinely think at that point, like, this is it, we've done it. Because we defended pretty well. And even though they got the first goal, I think they didn't really look like score. They didn't have any clear cut chances.
There was a spell, weren't there, where like, it was. It looked pretty comfortable. It wasn't pretty comfortable. But you know what I mean? The game was very much in our favour, I suppose. They weren't creating much.
There was the Travis incident where he played it through back to McAtee, who probably should have scored.
That was
good save from Purs. That was at 1-1.
That was at 1-1, yeah.
Yeah.
But
apart from that, I think we looked the most likely to score. We had... Was the Brereton double save... Before Smodic's goal.
Yeah. It was just after our time. Well, they had a couple of chances to start at first, the side netting, didn't they?
Yeah. the half the side next to us were absolutely bouncing.
Yeah.
Hey, you missed that.
Nowhere near me. And then the double save from Fodringham, yeah.
Just heartbreak. I thought we were over it.
It's funny, like, when you look back, like, because obviously, like, we just talked about the stress end, and because how fast the game was going, you forget things. Like,
yeah.
It's like, I watched it back, because I ended up doing an analysis piece on it for uni. It's like, Hyam's header at 1-1 at first.
Yeah, for Morton's free kick, yeah. You've got to score them in big games like that, haven't you?
I completely forgot about that.
No, there was... I think there was one more in the first half. We probably should have scored.
I haven't got to Hedges yet.
Yeah, I know that was that. I think that will go down as the moment for us.
Yeah,
but we'll get on to that. So yeah, Smodic puts a 2-1 up before the change is made. Hedges hits the inside of the post, and from where we were, it was like the goal line was along people's heads, so we didn't know it had gone in and out. Yeah. And it just squirms, and we're just like. You're almost waiting for it to either hit off the keeper, go to someone for a tap-in, or just go in, and it somehow goes out for a goal kick.
We couldn't really see the whole thing. You're just kind of waiting for like the fans in front to like
go
jump
mad
up and start celebrating or something. You know, we knew it'd hit the post, but
I think
so unlucky though.
The images of that squirming across the line are like Morton Gams Pedersen's header at Old Trafford. That is the equivalent.
Yeah, it is that moment, isn't it?
It's just. Yeah. Like a layer of paint off going to Wembley.
I worried that like in the seconds after I was like, oh, that's gonna be that. Well, not it's gonna, but it, that could be the
soon as I hit the post, I thought we're not winning today. Mm. It reminded me of Jordan Rhodes against Burnley, where he goes 3-1-1, hits the post, and everyone turns around and thinks that shouldn't happen. That's us getting beat today. So. JDT makes some changes. He's got a lot of stick for them changes. Do you feel they're the right changes to make? Are they too soon? Like, what were your thoughts on it at the time?
I think it's a really tough one. You can see where he's coming from. You really can, because he was only trying to defend the lead, but Wharton hadn't played since West Brom away in mid-February.
Yeah.
You know, and... To come into a game like that is a huge ask, and it's backfired. There's no two ways about it. For me, when I was doing that analysis piece, like where Wharton in the build up to the equaliser, at Burnley, like, you know, shoots cross goal, and you can see Wharton almost. He's marking sharp at the back stick, but he's in two minds whether to
go and block the back post. So.
Whether to keep blocking Sharp off or whether to clear the shot. I think that indecisiveness comes from, you know, being kind of like thrust into a game like that and having not played for so long as well.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have gone to say we shouldn't have gone five at the back, or, but we played five at the back all game. Mm. Hedges was the floating wing back that, so out of possession we had five at the back, in possession we had four at the back.
Yeah.
Once it got to the 80th minute when he made the changes, I don't think Diaz can keep coming back and doing the left back run. I think is a, if you're 2-1 up, is the out ball to have on the halfway line, because he'll bring it down, run into the channel, keep hold of the ball, win a free kick, win a throw-in. I don't think you get that same game management from Gallagher. Or,
I think Gallagher's shown himself to be very naive in those situations over the years as well. Yeah,
pressing it home. The one that everyone remembers. Mm. I mean, the second goal, the equaliser for them, I just think it's a bit of individual brilliance from McBurney. A couple of lucky bounces off shins, and Purs maybe on another day could have pushed it wide. It squirms under his hand, but I still think it's a good turn from McBurney and a good finish.
It's right in the side netting, isn't it? It's, yeah, like almost hitting the foot of the post. It's like it's a top finish, but the way it gets through to him, like, yeah.
I think Britton should have done more in the corner to stop the ball getting into McBurney.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. You're still doing it. How has that got through?
Yeah.
You kind of like a fair play. He's done well to from that angle to get it in from there, but it's like, how's it got through?
Yeah, why always us? And then we go on to the Tommy Doyle screamer, which unfortunately we were right in line with.
Yeah.
And with as soon as he hit it, I knew it was in. Just waiting for them to go absolutely mad. Before he took the shot, Morton goes down on the halfway line from, I think we were attacking at the time, weren't we? The ball gets cleared, and it's one of them clearances where it looks like it's going out for a throw-in, but it actually bends back in.
But yeah.
But for me, in the 90th minute, he just volleyed that back into the box or into the channel. He like let it bounce once, and I thought, he's still got
to
time.
Me, just like do anything other than what he did.
Yeah. So he let it bounce once, and I thought, right, he's still got a bit of time. Because then Jack and Dad were like still in the middle of the pitch jogging across. I thought, right, just get it under it into the channel, lets it bounce again. I thought, right, arse is squeaking a bit, just calm down. I'd rather him scream it into one of Sheffield United fans on front row. Lets it bounce again, brings it under control and like holds it up like he's in the corner, and then Ndiaye tickles his eyelash or whatever he does, and he doesn't go down at first. He like holds his face, and at that point I still think you can the ball out of play.
He's literally right next to the ball, and it just, yeah, just get any, just throw yourself out, you know where it is. So like,
but at that point he's still got hold of Ndiaye because he's holding him off. Just keep hold of him. Just grab his shirt, grab his...
You just have to give a foul away.
Grab his nipples, do anything. Just do not let him get away from you. He eventually goes down because I think he thinks that's going to help his case with VAR. But obviously, he's cost us another game this season. And I mean,
to me, looking back,
tried to pre-warn everyone.
But I'm about to go off. No, looking back on it, it's embarrassing. There's no other.
I don't know how
description for it, really.
I don't know how the rest of the players look him in the eye after that.
Well,
if you've like put like
the other way around, how he looks.
Well, yeah, but getting into the change, because obviously he got subbed off straight after that. You go into the change room after the game. I don't know how you look at him or speak to him on coach. Or I just don't. If you've put everything on the line to try and win that game, there's players coming off that have played like 95 minutes that are knackered, like had a tough run in the league, a really good run in the league, but some tough games, some big results, and like you were 5 minutes away from extra time, and if you'd have just kicked it into the channel, we'd have been going into extra time against a team that were tiring, and like we had the better off for the most of the game. And I just think, like, so what do you say
up until
to him?
That point, he had a decent game, really. Probably one of his better games, I think. Like the role he played in
I thought Sander Berg had the best game I've seen him play because he had all the time at work. Whereas, like, when we played him in a league against Buckley, were playing midfield, he didn't get a sniff and he like buried off the pitch and everyone was slagging him on Twitter.
Yeah, well, that was in the build up. A lot of the talk was about that midfield battle, weren't it? And how Buckley weren't going to be, obviously, Buckley's injured, he weren't available for the quarter final. And, you know, it was probably that difference that that resulted in a different outcome, but
live and learn from it.
Yeah,
we live and learn. I mean, you'll go back to Liverpool and go out on loan to someone else next year and forget all about it, but for us, we'll just always remember that image of him falling to the floor holding his eye. And that's what, when I was picking my team and I think like playing Garrett and Wharton, players who know what it means and how much it means to us, I just think that one. I don't know. Swings and roundabouts, isn't it? It's like hindsight's a wonderful thing.
How bad were it when they were playing Case Ross or all of it?
See, I think like if you win an FA Cup quarter final, you need the tannoy to get your atmosphere going. You should be banned from the FA Cup semi. That's shocking, that. I thought their atmosphere was stinking.
Yeah,
all
yeah,
day.
It was really poor, I thought.
Yeah. But like, and then they said over the tannoy something about Ryan Reynolds, this is what a real atmosphere. He said something about Ryan Reynolds. I was turned around and I thought, what?
What is he on about?
Like, what's that got to do? Like, you're in an FA Cup semi final. What have you got to do with Wrexham? Like, you won't play him for at least another 4 years. Like, just chill out. So, coach home was heartbreaking. Just frustrating. A lot of day trippers on bus still singing. How a few weird. But, I mean, FA Cup quarter final, they've got to be happy with it. If we'd have drawn, if we'd have got Burnley's draw, City away, and got beat 5-0, we'd have been looking at it in the positive way. It's just the fact that we were so close to booking our place that it hurts even more. But I'd rather be in a position where you're 2-1 up with half an hour to go, living the dream, than be 5-0 down with 20 minutes to go and think, get back to the moon underwater. Right, so moving on from the FA Cup, we are going back to club matters. So, the biggest one that's happened in the last 10 or so days since we played, the allocation for Burnley at home for their fans has been announced.
Yeah.
2,000 tickets plus 250 hospitality tickets.
Yeah, it's caused an outrage, really, hasn't it? Down the M65.
And I said straight away that the people, the only reason they're outraged is because they will miss out on tickets, and it's the first time ever that some of their fans have missed out on tickets. Because we have to miss out on tickets for that game every year.
Yeah.
And usually we play them first in like October time away, where you only have two or three away games to get your stubs in before you can qualify for a ticket. We usually sell out pretty well at them games, and to make sure you qualify, I don't know how, I mean, there's been a lot said about their loyalty points system where I think you needed 6,000 loyalty points to qualify for it. 5,000 people. Yeah, qualify for the ballot. 5,000 people qualify for that criteria and only 2,000 tickets are available. So you could have been the person with the most loyalty points ever and still had to go in a ballot with someone who just got 5,000.
Yeah, that wouldn't sit right with me.
No.
To me, it should work off most loyalty points.
Go first.
Get first dibs, really. If you've been to the most, if you're a season ticket holder, you've been to the most away games,
you get first dibs.
Surely.
Yeah. Unless, I say like they might have put in that allocation, like said that you need 6,000 points, and that obviously held 5,000 Burnley fans account, thinking that they were going to get 5,000 tickets so they qualify, but obviously they've not got that allocation.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
It's a good thing. It benefits the team. It also puts the ball in Burnley's court now for future games. We can't keep having this relationship where they give us 2,300 and we give them 6,000 every year. It can't keep happening like that. No. I know our ground isn't at full capacity, but I think given the results going up to the Burnley game, without the upper tiers being used in the Blackburn Darwin end, we could quite easily sell 25,000 tickets for that game.
If Rovers continue the form they're in before the international break and say we're, you know, say we need to win that night to secure playoffs, something like that.
Yeah.
We could probably sell 20k at least, I think.
Yeah. And then obviously there are two on the other side. I think they'll open one half of the Darwin end up to home fans before that game. Whether it be like cheaper prices to be in the Darwin end, I don't know. Again, it makes more space for home fans, decreases the cost of policing and stuff. There's less of them outside. A lot of chat about them being in the home end and stuff. That's just not going to happen at all. And
I was saying to the lads in group chat, like getting them involved with limbs when we go 1-0 up.
Pulling them up.
God,
get in. It's just not going to happen. But yeah, like I said, we can't keep having this relationship where they'd never miss out and we have to miss out. It's just, it's unfair. What do you think?
I've seen a few of their fans saying, you know, we can only give you that amount because we have season ticket holders on the other side. Well, you should have thought about that before you sold season tickets in that.
Yeah, but they've not sold out on season tickets, so they could move them season ticket holders to other spaces in the, like, when obviously Rovers fans have fans on the Riverside and they have to move if the Riverside's closed for a game or whatever, that's life, unfortunately. You buy a season ticket, but for the derby you have to move seats. Like, is that such a big deal? Like, I don't know what the answer is, but there were a massive article they put on yesterday that I read on one of their fan websites, and it was like massive, massive article. I read it all the way through and I was just like laughing at him, because he said he's been every game this season, season ticket holder, been to all the away games, qualified for the ballot, and then at the end of it, I won't be at Ewood. He got an email saying that he's successful, he can contact and get his ticket.
Right.
Rang up, said it had been sent to the wrong person, and then he got an email through saying he was unsuccessful in the ballot. So I guarantee you, if he'd have got a ticket, he would not have posted that article. It's only because he's not got a ticket that he's upset and fuming that he's missed out. And he's like, this is the first Blackburn game I've missed for so many years. Tough luck. We have fans that miss out on Burnley away every time we play you, because you only give us half of the shed. Like, with a tent outside, people pouring cans into horse hooves and serving it to you.
Horse hooves.
So yeah, it's their own fault. And a lot of people saying it's the redemption arc of Steve Waggett, but no, we'll get onto that.
Yeah, Rob won't be here.
Because the next thing,
Rob won't be mentioning anything of the sort on him.
The next thing that they're talking about is season ticket prices, because on Monday? Last Friday?
I think it was, last Friday.
So last Friday,
I don't think it was this week,
Chris Martin sent us a message in the group chat and said, why am I allowed to renew my season ticket? Like, nothing's been announced yet. So I logged onto the Rovers website and saw that I could renew my season ticket, and then looked at the price of £379 for the early bird price. It's cheaper than this year, so yeah, I appreciate the discount. Two, I still don't think it's enough. And then three, and we'll get on to this. Once they announced the actual season tickets were out, and they laid out the structures and the tiers for each one. So you've got 379 up until the 6th of May, which is the day before Millwall away.
Yeah, because Millwall away is on the 8th, isn't it? The 8th, of coronation.
So a couple of days before the end of the season, so where we know we'll be, like, where we'll finish. Well, hopefully we might have secured a playoff place by then, but like, if we're 7th, say, for example, then it's going to go up if you wait till after the Millwall game, right? And then it's going to be £429 up till the 26th of May, with the playoff final being on the Saturday the 27th. So
you can see what they're doing.
But I think if you get to the playoff final and you win and get promotion to the Premier League, that so I messaged I can't think, what's the length Telegraph guy reporter called?
Rich Sharp.
Rich Sharp. So I tweeted Rich Sharp saying, do you think, are we facing an increase if we get promoted through the playoffs? And he said, I expect a premium price for Premier League football. I'm the complete opposite. Once you've got that money in from the Premier League, there is no excuse to charge more money.
Mm.
One, it's four less games a season. Two, you're going to win a lot less games. And three, you don't need the revenue. The revenue is already there, so you can decrease the prices, get as many people in as possible. Say if you made it £300 a season ticket in the Premier League, people will buy that season ticket just for Man United, Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea at home. And even if they don't come to every game...
As well, what you've got to think about those games is as well, how much money are you going to make from away fans? Because you know all of them are going to sell out.
Yeah. Even like clubs like Everton and Newcastle that sell out every time they come down to Ewood, that like you're more or less guaranteed at least 4,000 from 18 of the clubs in the Premier League if we do go up. I keep having to remind myself that it's if we do go up because I'm like getting excited thinking about it. So, if it were this price, like the early bird price, 379, if that was this season, like the standard price, we would be the 8th most expensive in the Championship this year. So this is Blackburn Rovers' offer.
Mm.
I still don't think that's good enough as a club. And as a club that's been ridiculed for its attendance and like percentage of stadium capacity, whatever, I think we're like, what are we, just over 30%? That average is like 13k or something.
I saw a... table the other day that showed that behind Burnley we are like based on population we are the club that has the most amount of the population attending home games, which
so like a polygraph chart, so like the five nearest clubs to us, so it drew like a little pentagon, and then the population from inside that area, we have like 9% of that population come to support
us. Pretty good.
Yeah, it is good. And obviously Burnley have
I think it's just a little bit more, isn't it? Like, so
it spreads all the way out to Yorkshire, doesn't it?
On the table I saw, it was only Burnley that was above it, and there weren't that much in it.
No. Because they have a higher... I mean, they like look at the towns and cities to the east before, like, you got like Skipton, Barley, Barnoldswick, like all them...
Don't have a professional
don't have, yeah. Like the probably nearest club after that is Bradford, Leeds, Harrogate. Yeah. Like, they don't really have, like... Whereas, like, to the east of us, we've got Burnley and...
Stanley,
yeah. So, the 8th most expensive in the Championship, don't really think that's good enough. I don't really like the fact that the Riverside's still just as expensive as the Blackburn and Darwin. And we've talked about it before, being not as... good as an experience for fans to sit in there. All of the people that sit in there swear by it, but when you look at facilities available, I don't think it's...
I don't think it should be as expensive as Blackburn End.
No.
Not for me. The way I'm looking at it at the minute is it's positive that it's quite a bit cheaper. I mean, it's £50, 379, it was 429, weren't it? So it's £50 cheaper. So that's positive, and if we do go up and we're paying £379 for Premier League football, that's...
Still £20 a game.
It's like £20 for Premier League football.
I know, yeah. A lot of Rovers fans are like... So I don't mind like genuine discussion and genuine debate, but like people complain about the prices and people are like, oh my God, if it were £200, people would still complain.
I don't think they
would. How do you know? How do you know that people would complain about £200? We've never had it. We've never had affordable football for years. So when? How do you know that? Like, be like, well, it were a tenner against Reading and no one came on. Yeah, because it were a Tuesday night on Sky, freezing against the worst team in the league.
How could you complain if it was £200?
You couldn't. But like, we're not willing to try it. Like, we need to even if it's just for a season, like, take the loss and just... So we'll get onto this when we, after we talk about the championship results, the DAZN Sports EFL offer. I think, one, we might not potentially reach our revenue targets if we decrease the prices, but we'll be there or thereabouts because of the increase in footfall coming onto the ground.
Yeah.
If we'd have done it this season and got like 18,000 on regularly, if we'd have had a season that we've had with them fans on, even if you put it up to 250 or 300, say, I think you maintain majority of them because of how well this season's gone.
Yep. How many home games have won, where we are in the league, amount of academy graduates that are in the team, how well Jon Dahl's done considering it's his first season managing, all those things. We were on a bit of a downer after what happened with O'Brien, and some of the performances away from home haven't been great, but I think overall so far you've got to be really pleased with the season we've had.
Yeah,
I think
100%. But I just think at this price range, it's hard to get people in who don't already have a season ticket or haven't been this season. I can't see how, if you've not been for years, you think, you know what, this offer at that, like this £400, especially this, like the current times we're living in, just getting shafted. You just think, oh yeah, I'm going to drop £400 and I'm going to go next season. Especially not knowing where we're going to be. I know what you mean, like, obviously more people will turn up because if we do get into the Prem, because...
Something we haven't mentioned is the amount of games we've been on Sky for.
Yeah.
You know, if that carries on, I mean, Premier League, you can guarantee there'll be at least a few of our home games, probably at the start of the season, because, Blackburn's back, you know.
Well, you already missed it.
There'll be Super Sunday or Friday Night Football.
You've got the Burnley at home game is one. United will always be a TV game. Yeah. City, we're always on BT Sport and play City.
All those like North West games against the big clubs. even Everton will probably be.
And then there'll be like a random Sunday we'll play Fulham away at 12 o'clock.
So Everton probably like Arsenal on a Saturday.
Yeah.
All right, something like that, you know, so...
And that's another thing as well. So we mentioned about the TV. So we spoke about the Final Five offer when it was introduced. It was £100 for the last five games of the season. So we've had so far, who we played in the... So the Reading game, was that included?
No, because that was our... Was that not our sixth to last? So when was the first? Is it not the next five? So we've got...
Norwich, Burnley, Norwich. Coventry, Hull, Luton.
That's
right.
It, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you've got Norwich, which is... That's Saturday.
20...
Oh, it's Good Friday.
Good Friday.
Easter Monday.
Yeah.
Is it
one? No, Good Friday.
Good Friday.
It's
so it's
the way Easter Monday.
Yeah. So, it's £20 for Norwich, right? You've got Hull on the Saturday night, which is now £15.
Saturday night football, hey.
You've got Coventry, which has been announced at £20. So we're up to now 55. It's going to be 30 for Burnley at home because that's what they charge the away fans. So we know it's going to be 30 for us in the Blackburn end. So that's you up to 85. So if the last game of the season, Luton game, is any less than £15, you could have saved money by not getting the Final Five offer. If it's £20, you've saved a fiver. If it's £25, which I think will be the highest it could possibly be, you've saved a tenner by buying the Final Five offer, which to me makes it not an offer at all. And I said this at the time, 20's plenty, £500 for five games is not a good offer. I know the Burnley game's in there, but it is a Tuesday night.
What should it be? 80? 85?
I'd say £60. Oof. I'd say you pay your premium for Burnley, right? So that's £30, and then, well, 70, yeah, 10 for the rest of the games, I think that'd be fair. But, I mean, to be potentially... So the Luton game, it would have to be like £40 for it to be a genuine offer, like saving £20 on them games, which, like, it's never going to be that. I know, like, we've got a lot to play for that game, but, I mean, if it had been realistic, if Rovers offer more than, if Rovers release tickets at more than £20, then we're still going to have not many people on there.
I think it could become a problem if Rovers want that last home game to be a bump. Say if, you know, we're in a situation which we think we're going to be in, of, yeah, you know, trying to secure the playoffs.
Operation Fleetwood, tenner a ticket, and then
yeah,
it's cost you money to go in the final five.
If that is a situation we find ourselves in, then...
I said this when it got announced. It's a, I mean, they have got an advertisement up on the Rovers website for a new marketing manager, and I'm not being funny. I am the man for the job. But they want to pay me or not, I'll just do it. I'll just do it and I'll fix it. I'll fix all the problems.
Do it free time, mate. No bother.
Right, so... And that is all for club matters, unless you have anything to add. Do you know anything?
I don't think so.
No.
Diaz's new contract. What did he say?
I know, yeah. I went to a party on Saturday night, and there was someone there who gets his hair cut by the same barber as Ben Brereton Diaz. And he said there was contract news coming this week, and I thought he meant Diaz was signing a new contract. But after this morning, it's just he's signing right. Villarreal. All
right.
So he didn't actually... He just, like... winked at me and said he has been talking about a contract recently and he has signed a contract somewhere, and I thought, oh, that means he must be staying, but he must be going to Villarreal. That barber's going to get his head chopped off. Right, so championship results, obviously we didn't play because we're in the FA Cup. So Swansea 2, Bristol City 0, absolute mid-table off. Blackpool 1, Coventry 4. You reported on that. You went to that, didn't you? Reported on it.
Yeah, I did some commentary for uni. Got the grade back on that this morning. But first class.
How was it at Blackpool? Was it good? It's cold. Where is the commentary box?
It's right in the middle of the away end. So you've got like when we went, it's like
where the segregation is in the middle.
Yeah. What one half? Like goes in at one side, the other goes in at the other. When it's sold over so many anyway.
So did you walk along in front of the away fans, or did you climb up the back?
So you're like, where you go in where, like with the left side of the away, like say you're sat in the middle of the stand,
yeah.
Where the left side of the away fans go in, you go in like, you walk through the concourse, and walk along the bottom of the stand, then up to the press area.
Yeah.
And like, it's just...
They need to
rebuild. Not really, no. It was alright, but they need to like...
That's called
rebuild
Darwin.
That stand, really, because when you compare it to like facilities at Ewood and Deepdale and Turfmoor as well,
they could do an upgrade, couldn't they?
Because like, obviously they brought 4,000 and then they're trying to record some commentary and it's like... loud.
Victor Jocker, rest.
Yeah.
Are you joining in? Victor.
It's like when we went in August, like there were people that had tickets in one side that had mates in the other and they were trying to get across, and it was just chaos. Like, because like, the people like running like along like the press bit, and it was just... Because for some reason the stewards, like they had netting on like the last two like
columns.
Seats on... Yeah. On either side, but they got rid of that for some reason. So they just allowed them to stand
just to
at
make
the,
it easier
the end of the rows, and like there was just chaos, people out like, running all over the place. So, like, but yeah, I mean, Blackpool were shit. They're going down. Yeah. I'd be surprised if they stay up, to be honest.
Coventry, do you think they'll sneak playoffs?
They could. They played. They were all right, but you can't. It's hard to tell whether
they're good or Blackpool. A bit like last night. Like you couldn't tell if Scotland were good or Spain were just awful.
I suppose one thing you could say in Blackpool's defence was that they were a bit unfortunate that Jokeres weren't sent off early on. Did you see what he did?
I think it was just like a tussle. I know he technically punches him, but McCarthy, it's almost a bit like
post-match press comments about it.
It's a bit like, get off me! What are you doing? Mm. Like pushing him away. I thought it'd have been a harsh red card.
Mm.
Like, by the letter of the law, it is a red card, but I just think that's football, isn't it? Like, he was grabbing onto you, just gonna, like, shrug him off. Like, I love you, Jokeres.
Please sign.
Middlesbrough 4, Preston 0. Middlesbrough flying. I can see them catching Sheffield United, especially with one eye on their semi-final. Millwall 0, Huddersfield 1. Class result for us. And I said Millwall will flirt with the playoffs and just drop out eventually. And
yeah,
I think,
hopefully.
I think Coventry will replace them in top 6. QPR 0, Birmingham 1. QPR in free fall. Reading 1, Hull 1. Just not interested in that. Another mid-off. Rotherham 0, Cardiff 1, which... Oh, it got abandoned, that, didn't it? Did you see that?
Yeah. Oh.
Some of the scenes... some of the videos, oh. Like, the grounds were, like, sweeping the water back onto the pitch. But, like, surely the manager's not told them to do that. Or do you think he has? Do you think he said, right, we'll try and get this called off?
I don't know. I just,
are Rotherham missing players through injury or something?
I'm not sure. I don't know, but it just... crazy situation, really.
It's going to be tough now for Cardiff to go back on a midweek, like, travel that way.
Definitely, yeah.
And especially, like, the mentality of it, like, you're going to put a good first half performance in, 1-0 up at a tough place to go, and having to go back on a midweek and try and get back to that. Do you think, have they decided how they're going to resume it? Are they going to resume it 1-0 up and play 1-0 or?
I'm not sure. But to me, now that's just got Rotherham 1-0 late winner, written all over it.
Off with the grounds and the back poles.
Get it!
Groundsman, yeah! Stoke 0, Norwich 0. Could be a good point for Norwich. Looks like a good result for us, but it could be a crucial point for Norwich, because obviously Stoke's a very tough place to go to now. Sunderland 1, Luton 1, another good point for us. Or a good result for us, sorry. Luton dropping points, and then Watford 1, Wigan 1, which is a very good result for us, because Wigan are obviously down there. You'd expect most playoff rivals to beat Wigan at home. I know we didn't, but especially the fact that not getting paid at the minute, you'd think that, like, I don't like to see, like, players down tools and stuff, but it must be hard at,
yeah, definitely,
like, getting into that. And then that was it. Obviously the other teams involved in the FA Cup did not play. So one last thing to talk about, it's been mentioned tonight about DAZN Sports have made an offer to show all EFL games, which would get rid of the 3 p.m. football blackout.
It's
in the UK.
Is it not DAZN? Is that not how you say it?
DAZN? I don't know.
DAZN,
I bet. Is that how you say it?
I think so.
Or
yeah.
Is it E?
I've heard a few people say it like that, so I just call it DAZN.
Santana. Satanta. Stanana.
Sunshuk. McCann. Maroon. Shinsuke Nakamura.
Shinsuke Nakamura, you double. A lot of people have had a lot to say about it, obviously. It's a very controversial thing in football. What are your thoughts on it before I go into mine?
I think mine are pretty much the same as yours. If it leads to affordable ticket prices, I think it can only be good. But there's just that worry that one, people wouldn't go anywhere, and they just watch it on, like, say they just subscribe to DAZN. Like, I think in America it's like $10 a month. If you had something similar over here, it was like 10 quid a month for EFL, that'd just be the death of it to me. But, and then there's the thing of, would clubs see the money that they get from that TV deal with them as the new standard for income, and then get greedy with ticket money on top of that?
Yeah.
And still charge 20-30 quid.
See, that's why I think there has to be, like, deals in place where, so basically the money, I think, like, the bid is like 200 million, so the money should be distributed so that every club is sustainable and can pay legitimate wages without needing to sell a single ticket for a single game, and then that's when your cheaper ticket prices come in, because every penny you get after that is just a bonus, and it shouldn't be used as extra money or to pay higher wages, your ticket revenue. It should simply be used as a bonus. Like, that's
Yeah.
And like, fans are sick of being fleeced. So people say, like, oh, it'll stop football fans from going. Football fans aren't going now. League Two attendances are awful. Championship attendances are awful. And the simple being is that we're being priced out of football. Like, there's no other reason for it. People say, like, oh, we're not interested in football anymore. There's a paywall for football now. And it's the same for most sports. Like I said about City earlier in the semi-final, 65 quid a ticket for an FA Cup semi-final. And it'll just take one of these games or one of these high-profile Premier League games to just have no one there. It'll only take one, and then it'll all come tumbling. Because football played in it, we saw it in the COVID season, football behind closed doors is awful. Mm. Football without fans is awful to watch. I don't, like, no one has any memories of the COVID season or the COVID FA Cup games or the Champions League final. Like, it were rubbish. So there has to be a deal in place where, one, every club gets like a set amount to spend on wages. I don't want it to be a salary cap, but that deal should cover a 23-man squad for every club at a average wage cost. So you said the average wage in League 2 is £1,000 a week. So for 23 players, it's £23,000 a week. Over the year, they get that much amount of money for all 24 clubs in the league. And obviously that'll be worked out. I'm just using rough figures. And that'll go up and down every division. It stops things happening like it's happened to Wigan, that's potentially happened to Huddersfield, that's happened to other League 1 and League 2 clubs. Like, look at Rochdale, bottom of League 2 now. It'll stop things like that happening to them. And I just think there's so many benefits. A lot of people have been negative about it. I don't see one con to it at all. Like, you look at the League One tickets this weekend, so someone's shown like the ticket prices. I think like the top 8 teams, no one's got a cheaper ticket this weekend than £27, and that's for League One football. Like, fully for £27, you can fly to Italy and watch Inter Milan at San Siro, or you can get a home ticket for Bolton Wanderers or Shrewsbury, whatever. Like, something needs to change, and this could be the start of that change, hopefully. I mean, it would never stop me from going, just because it's on the telly now midweek. I know a lot of people would rather stay in the pub than like watch it on the red button and go down to games, but again, that comes back to how expensive it was just to get down there, like your car parking. And I mean, Ewood Park's not the most accessible, is it? So I just think, if realistically, Championship, £10 a ticket most, League One and League Two, £5 a ticket, and people just go on. We see it in German football. That's the model we want to aim for, innit? Every ground sold out. And if this comes in, there'll be no excuse for that. Right. Anything else to add?
I don't think so, no.
Birmingham this weekend. Yeah. Must win this weekend. A lot of big games in the Championship this weekend. Watford, Luton, dinner time Saturday.
Yeah, Preston.
Preston, Blackpool, dinner time Saturday. A lot of playoff.
Cardiff, Swansea.
Yeah. Absolutely awful game.
Still derby, isn't it?
Rather than let the fans fight whoever wins. Who wins gets 3 points. There's a lot of playoff contenders battling against each other this weekend. I'll just check the fixtures before we finish. Out the top, wherever we are, probably say we've got the nicest fixtures.
I think by Easter Monday night, I think we'll know where Rovers are going to be. For, you know, we're say like a 90% certainty.
Yeah.
But I think most people are pretty confident that we're going to finish top six, but I think these next three results, I mean, that Norwich game, that's
the big one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's, hopefully there'll be a big gate on for that.
We could do with the results going in the big games this week and going our way and us beating Birmingham. If we beat Birmingham, Watford beat Luton, Millwall get beat off who they're playing, Norwich get beat off who they're playing, that'd be a huge weekend for us going into the Easter weekend. So, anything else to add? That was done.
I think so, yeah.
Okie dokie. So, we've had our break now. We'll be back on. We'll be back next week. There's only Birmingham to talk about. We'll be back before the big
next week.
Easter weekend one, won't we? And we'll have the double header after the Easter weekend.
Yeah. Well, don't know what we're going to do about that because I'll be on holiday, but going away on Tuesday the 11th, the day after Huddersfield, rocking up to airport after Huddersfield away, absolutely steaming.
Well, we'll do it over teams. Something great. Right. Hey, cheers. Right.
See you in a bit.
See you in a bit.
Podcast Network.